Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You can play either when it's St. Patrick's Day or when you're trying to talk trash about the Red Sox or when you're going to talk about big boats. And today we're going to talk about big boats. Well, one anyway. Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Captain Chris Johnson. He is the captain, or the master, as I sometimes call it, of the TX-10000. No, that's not a variation of Terminator. That is that giant yellow structure, double blue barge boat that you see at the Port of Pensacola and was all over social media yesterday. Captain Johnson, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on your show.
Great to have you. Can I make a first observation? I know a lot of the ship captains coming in and out of the port are from foreign countries, you know, from Poland, from India, from all over the place. But you're from the United States. They're homegrown captain, right?
That's correct. I'm from Akron, Ohio. Oh,
okay. All right. Very good. Well, welcome back to Pensacola. Tell us about this ship, because I know a lot of people saw the pictures and like, what in the world is that? Are we being invaded by aliens or what? So what does the ship do?
Okay. So the ship's name is the TX-10000. We are a heavy lift ship. It is the largest salvage ship ever made in America, and we specialize in installations and decommissionings of oil platforms.
Okay, so you
what
help.
What that means?
Go ahead.
If you're not familiar with the oil field, we're really focused on the decommissioning side of things right now. And what that does is we remove the platform from the Gulf of America, and the platform itself either gets refurbished or scrapped, and then the bottom section we turn into a fish habitat. So it'll be reefed as an artificial reef. So we're cleaning up the Gulf and creating a healthy fish habitat at the same time.
So pardon my ignorance. Is that ship big enough to go over? I mean, I think of an oil rig as being quite massive. That ship literally goes over the oil rig and lifts the cap off after it's been basically disconnected, and then you turn the bottom part into a reef. That's what you do with that ship?
Correct. You hit the nail right on the head.
Wow. And then, so do you then carry it back to a port to be scrapped, or do you usually sink them like at location, or what do you do with the tops of them?
So the structures themselves, we place them on a transportation barge, and they are towed to the shoreline, to the scrap yard, or to be refurbished.
Okay, all right. Now, the design of the ship I'm absolutely fascinated by because, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you're obviously the expert, it's kind of two barges that work as like pontoons essentially, and then this giant yellowish tan superstructure that is the operation of the crane mechanism goes between them and over them, and it seems like it couldn't possibly be stable enough to work in the waves of the Gulf. It obviously is, but do I have it right, and how is it possible to work?
So you do have it right, and so the width, we're 314 feet wide, which creates a lot of stability, but we all have, the gantries themselves are able to articulate in all axes, meaning the gantries move along with the barges. So it's not a rigid connection, you know, and that's hard to see. But when you're offshore and you're in a seaway, everything's moving as one. So they're articulating on what we call a pin and pin connection.
Waves on the one side are working sort of one way, and on the other side are working the other way. The structure is flexing to, I'm understanding, tell me if I'm wrong, the structure is flexing to allow that to work so that you're not creating stress on the structure itself. Is that right?
Correct.
Oh, interesting. Correct. Oh, that, I mean, it's just because it's so big and it's such a, you know, I think of the Gulf having so much wave action. That's why I'm kind of asking these questions. Go ahead.
No, you've got it. You've got it.
What kind of size crew do you guys have on board the ship? How many people are operating this vessel?
So generally, the vessel itself, we try to run with a crew of 40. And then we've also got multiple support vessels and tugboats that accommodate us while offshore. So at any one time during an operation, you could have 100 players involved directly and then another 100 involved indirectly. So there's a lot of it takes a lot of people to make these operations happen.
So it's kind of a small fleet, sort of.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what it takes to get it done safe. Is that it takes a lot of personnel.
How many are here in Pensacola while you guys are getting refurbished, and how long will you be here in port? I think I read spring is the target finish date. Is that right?
Well, we're kind of playing that by ear right now.
Okay.
There's a possible departure date of this Friday.
Oh. No, I'm confusing you with the other ship. I'm sorry, the naval ship. Sorry. So you guys are going to be here, you think, through the week?
We with the possibility of being here through the weekend, depending on weather. We've got three other boats alongside with us right now that's assisting in this operation. So, you know, we probably got 100 people right now down in the port of Pensacola,
wow,
which we're very happy to be at. This is one of the, you know, the most beautiful, cleanest ports that I've ever been in, and we're happy to be here.
Well, we'll take the praise. The question my tourism people always want me to ask is, how does the crew like Pensacola as a place to come and work? And, you know, it's a working vacation, but it's not a vacation really, right?
That's correct. We don't have anybody really trying to get out of here too hard right now. We enjoy this place, and it's good for the crew. It's good for morale. And we're happy to be here.
Well, if I hear you correctly, if it takes a couple of extra days, not a lot of tears are going to be shed about that. but then again, you got work to get back to. So, well, that's fantastic.
That's right.
Just kind of a rough. So I get a sense of the significance. How long does one of these removal operations take? And like, I don't know, how many platforms do you decommission a year?
Okay, so. Generally, it does take some prep work. Before we arrive on site, there is some work to be done prior to us arriving in the field. So
that makes sense.
Give it two weeks worth of preparation, and then by the time we arrive on site, this could be 12 to 24 hours, and we remove the entire structure, including the jacket part,
wow,
where the deck sits on. So within a day, you know, it's been there for 30 years, and within 12 to 24 hours, it's completely gone.
That's so fast. Wow. I was thinking it must be days or at least weeks. Wow. So you must do a lot of these over the course of a year. I mean, I assume.
We can. Some years are busier than others.
Sure.
You know, and weather plays a huge factor
that
in our
sense.
Success. You know, we are weather sensitive just due to the job itself. So we are restricted by the weather. So if the weather is good, you know, generally we're going to be offshore working.
Well, thank you so much.
We could possibly 20 in a year.
20 in a year. Okay. Well, that's a lot. And, you know, I love the idea of you guys. Everything you've told me so far just makes me happy. So that's fantastic. Captain Chris Johnson, he is the captain of the TX-10000 with Zenos Marine. They are the ones who work on decommissioning those oil platforms. That's the big yellow ship on the blue pontoons, if you want to think of it that way, at the Port of Pensacola for the rest of the week. Go down and take a look at it. It is an amazingly large vessel. The largest salvage vessel ever built in the United States. Captain Johnson, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do, man. I genuinely appreciate it. And thanks for informing our audience.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely.